This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Queer geeks of Oz. Because not all geeks are the same, and not all queer geeks are the same. Queer geeks of Oz. Because allies are important, and because you can like Batman and Spider-Man.
Queer geeks of Oz.
Because Professor Oak doesn't know how to politely ask which pronoun you prefer, and then goes on to assume you're cisgendered anyway.
Queer geeks of Oz.
Because we want to explore stories and worlds as characters other than straight white dudes.
Queer geeks of Oz.
Because we want to explore stories and worlds as characters that represent ourselves.
Queer geeks of Oz.
Because we want to explore stories and worlds as characters other than ourselves.
Queer geeks of Oz.
Because we want to see what it would look like if we put Tumblr on a stage.
Queer geeks of Oz.
In Melbourne, Hobart, Brisbane, and Sydney.
Playing gay for the first time is in itself a risk. You know, when they offered me the film, when Jamie offered me the film, she was like, I would love for you to do this film. Mm. And this is the thing about that film. When they offered it to me, see, the character's name is Dolph, right? And it was written in the script as this really all-American, blonde,
Dolph Lundgren.
Yeah, like blonde, like jock, like blonde hair, blue eye guy. And I'm like, you know, why? I don't understand what, you know, why you're offering me this project. And she goes, well, you know, you have to kiss a guy. I'm like, you know, come on, I'm an actor. Like, I don't care. That's not why I'm, like, questioning. I'm asking, why are you, you know, for the casting? And she said, you know, Dolph is just an all-American boy, and you're all-American. And, like, the vision of her to see past ethnicity and stereotypes to really kind of see the essence of how who people are and what they...
Yeah, it's very clever.
Which is great, and that alone made me go, well, I got to work with you.
Yeah.
Like, hands down. And that film became a cult classic. It's really a really great film, and I'm really, like I said, proud of being in the film, but I'm also proud as I get tons of fan mail about that film. I mean, I get, of course, Rufio changed my life in a lot of ways. I did a movie called The Debut where I played Filipino for the first time, and I'm Filipino American, so that was really important to me to kind of like help lend a voice to my community.
I'd like to welcome you to Sci-Fi and Scream on Joy 94.9. Dante Basco, welcome.
I'm happy to be here, back in Melbourne.
Yeah. Oh, right. So it's how many times now? 2-3 times.
This is my second time. I was here about 4 years ago, I was just reminded.
So here you are again in Melbourne. I guess people probably, certain age group maybe, would know you as, of course, from Hook, Rufio.
Yes.
How's that?
That's awesome. Yeah, like I've been around a long time. I have different generations of fans. So definitely the earlier generation is the Hook Rufio fandom. Mm. So Rufio, leader of Lost Boys, been part of my life for a long time now.
Yeah. And did you ever expect that would be so popular that it would appeal to a whole generation and still does?
Yeah, you know, I'm not sure. I thought, you know, I was 15 when I did the movie, and of course I knew it was a big Hollywood film. Mm-hmm. And you would hope to think that whatever you do kind of, you know, has some kind of impact or people kind of dig it. But I never really thought that it would really... I don't think I ever realized like a whole generation of kids would really kind of take to it in the way that they have. Mm-hmm. Like nowadays, cut to 20 years later, it's like not only is there like a lot of people writing fan fiction and being into other projects like Homestuck and this crazy thing, but there's also like people always tweet me tattoos of Rufio they have on their body.
The royalties from that.
I know, right? I mean, it just represents kind of like this rebel. Kind of the rebel spirit, and I think in a whole generation. So I appreciate being a part of that.
It's very 90s, of course. Now, Tim has got some questions there too. Let's get started on those. Cool.
You played so many different characters. Now, what's your favorite?
My favorite character. They're all favorite for different reasons. I've been an actor now for like 28 years, which is crazy to even, when it comes out of my mouth when I say that, it sounds like, who's that old? And I'm like, me, I guess. But as far as favorites, every project kind of has a special thing and reason why it's favorite for you for that time, because each project kind of represents part of your life to a certain degree. I tell like a lot of folks, a lot of times if you watch a movie I did or a television show or an animation, a fan's experience is that experience of watching it and that reminds them of that time in their life. When myself or other artists watch it, it's really a photo book almost of that the time of us doing it, you know, and just the memory of not only trying to do a great performance, but also the friendships you made during the film or enemies you made during the film and or, you know, the girls you've dated, like this kind of, like all these things that happen on the set. So they're all kind of favorite because they're, you know, of course, Rufio changed my life in a lot of ways. I did a movie called The Debut where I played Filipino for the first time and I'm Filipino American. So that was really important to me to kind of like help lend a voice to my community. You know, there's so many different movies like that or television shows, or they just mean a lot. I mean, American Dragon meant a lot to me just because it was my first animation, and there's ironically a lot of things I was going through in my life that Jake was going through in his life. I mean, same thing with Zuko. So many times the projects kind of, you know, art imitates life kind of thing. So as much as I'm lending a voice to the project, there's a lot of lessons for me to learn from the characters I play.
Now, did you enjoy the voice acting for the series of Avatar The Last Airbender and Legend of Korra? And what was your favorite part about it?
Yeah, immensely. I mean, you know, with Avatar, doing Avatar and it becoming this phenomenal hit, I think, I mean, it probably took everyone by surprise. Definitely took me by surprise, for sure. And then, you know, in specific, Prince Zuko becoming, again, this iconic character for, like, a new generation. Like, what? Like, how did that happen? But I very much enjoyed it. To that time, voice acting was really new to me. And in a lot of ways, still it is new to me. I mean, I've been an actor a long time, but just the craft of voice acting, I got to work with some of the most amazing voice actors, like Kevin Michael Richardson or John DiMaggio or Mark Hamill, these kind of cats, and Gray Delisle, just sitting in the room and seeing them do their work and seeing really some of the best do amazing stuff. For me, coming as an on-screen actor, just going there to kind of fulfill a role, you know, that kind of thing, I'm still very humble in the room with really masterful voiceover actors. I just consider myself an actor and at my best, a really good actor. And whether it's a camera in the room or a microphone in the room, I'm really trying to give you my best performance, and whatever captures it. You know, that's how I see myself as an actor across the board.
Okay. Mm. Now, what is your honest opinion of The Last Airbender movie?
I never saw the movie.
You didn't?
I didn't. I mean...
Well, that's a save in a way.
Yeah. I never saw it. I wanted... You know, of course I wanted to see it just because I'm part of the Avatar family. I actually had lunch with Mike and Brian. They're like, don't see it. And I was like, really? Like, man, don't see it. They just were like... not happy with the product that it came out, and it wasn't their fault, you know. I just, I mean, it's, you know, in the end, I don't know whose fault it was, or if there isn't to place blame. The thing about it, it's hard to, you know, my politically right answer is it's actually it's hard to make art, it's hard to make movies. You know, M. Night tried to do it one way, and it just didn't work. You know, we all wish that it could have had such a great potential to be a great film, but it didn't work. That being said, you know, I would never say anything bad about the film. I never even saw it. If I'm ever in a room, you know, auditioning for M. Night in the future, you can't pick out anything online that was like, hey, man, what did you say about my movie?
True, good one.
But so I never saw it. I want to see it maybe sometime soon. I mean, I'm actually a big fan of M. Night. I love Sixth Sense. I love Unbreakable. Mm. Probably my favorite film of his.
Unbreakable is wonderful.
I love that film. And I'm a big fan of Dev Patel as an actor. Oh, yeah. We share the character of Zuko. Yeah,
let's say it's a complex film.
Huh?
We'll call it a complex film.
Yeah.
Of course, But I'm a Cheerleader. Now, that's going back, 1999. Your involvement with that, and we're a queer radio station and show. It's probably a real culty sort of favourite. What was your experience there?
Yeah, man, I love But I'm a Cheerleader. That became like this cult classic film of itself. I mean, it's pretty iconic within its own niche genre. It was the first time I went to Sundance Film Festival all those years ago at the beginning of, you know, really the early stages of Sundance Film Festival, when it really was super indie and super grimy, as it were, in a great way. A great cast. You know, Jamie Babbitt's still doing amazing work.
Yeah.
Natasha Lyonne, she's back on Orange is the New Black. And she was wonderful. Clea DuVall, RuPaul, I mean, Eddie Cibrian, myself. The cast is so vast. It's so cool. And I'm so proud to be a part of that film.
Yeah.
It's actually the first time in my career that I played a gay character and a gay teenager, which was really hilarious.
It's a hilarious film.
It's a hilarious film.
And you have to see it, Tim.
You haven't seen it? So my memories of it, of course, playing gay for the first time is in itself a risk. You know, when they offered me the film, when Jamie offered me the film, you know, she was like, I would love for you to do this film. And this is the thing about that film. When they offered it to me, see, the character's name is Dolph, right? And it was written in the script as this really all-American blonde,
Dolph Lundgren.
Like jock, like blonde hair, blue eye guy. And I'm like, you know, why? I don't understand what, you know, why you're offering me this project. And she goes, well, you know, you have to kiss a guy. I'm like, you know, come on, I'm an actor. Like, I don't care. That's not why I'm like questioning. I'm asking, why are you, you know, for the casting? And she said, you know, Dolph is just an all-American boy, and you're all-American. And, like, the vision of her to see past ethnicity and stereotypes to really kind of see the essence of who people are and what they...
Yeah, it's very clever.
Which is great, and that alone made me go, well, I got to work with you.
Yeah.
Like, hands down. And that film became a cult classic. It's really a really great film, and I'm really, like I said, proud of being in the film, but I'm also proud as I get tons of fan mail about that film. I mean, I get a fan mail about that film monthly on my Twitter or Tumblr, and great stories about how it helped a lot of young, gay teenagers around the world come out to their parents. And I think that was one of the, you know, in a very human, you know, in a way that's it lightens it a little bit,
yeah,
and
very
gives
John
it,
Waters
and yeah, and gives vibe, them a pathway to kind of like talk about sexuality and who they are to their parents. And I think that's very important. And every time I read one of these notes, I'm again proud to be a part of the project.
That's wonderful. Look, thank you. Great film, and Tim has to certainly watch it, and I know a lot of our Joy 94.9 listeners just love it and adore it, and I think I've watched it about 20 times.
Yeah.
Look, that's great. Look, we're going to have to leave you, Dante Busco, but it's been fabulous talking to you for Sci-Fi and Scream on Joy 94.9, and do I have time for a tag? Just very...
This is Dante Busco, the one-time leader of the Lost Boys and the Prince of the Fire Nation, and you're listening to Sci-Fi and Scream on Joy 94.9.
Excellent. Thank you so much. That's brilliant.
Thank you so much.
That is great. Thank you.
Are you interested in the unknown?
Video games.
Old movies.
Horror.
Old TV.
Zombies.
Fantasies.
Comics.
The paranormal.
And science fiction.
Old TV. Games and more. Then tune in Tuesday nights at 10.
On Sci-Fi and Scream.
On Joy 94.9.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast, brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.